You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
You wouldn't know this by living in Utah, but all across the country, there are protests happening on college campuses. Again, they are not happening here.
Yes.
In Utah.
No, they're not. Well, we've had a couple of gatherings at the Capitol, but they've been pretty docile. They've been very appropriate. Yeah. But man, across the nation, they're crazy. It's interesting that we have a difference here, though. You know, it's an interesting byproduct, I think, of our culture and where it's appropriate to have these discussions.
I want to examine that a little bit more of why in the world we're not seeing this level of protesting in Utah like we're seeing across the country. At Ohio State University, there was a lot of shouting between protesters. Police are in riot gear. Crowds shouting, officers dragging away protesters. Right now, Caitlin Becker is at Columbia University where protesting is happening from the students about the Israel-Hamas war, the war in Gaza. Caitlin, thank you for joining us. What are you seeing so far at Columbia?
Well, today we actually started off the day with kind of a counter-protest right on campus, and it sort of spilled outside of it. Pro-Israel group was specifically protesting the 133 Jewish hostages being held by Hamas. That happened earlier today. There was a bit of a tense clash outside of campus on the sidewalk between just kind of a random protester and two students kind of from either side. They were pretty peaceful talking to each other. And this one older gentleman, maybe in his 60s, was just shouting obscenities at the pro-Palestine student protester. So it actually really served as a good example of sort of a microcosm of how this is all going down, that it's usually one or two sort of extreme protesters disrupting what would otherwise be kind of a healthy discourse. Meanwhile, on campus, that encampment of pro-Palestine protesters is still there on the west lawn. They're set up in tents. As you said, there's these kind of protests going at universities all over the country, but this is really where it started. This is the heart of it. It's been disbanded on campus once or twice, and apparently there was a deadline last night at midnight to disband once again, but that was extended. University officials announced this morning that they were making progress between the student-led organizers and the university.
Of the protests that you've been following, are you seeing any that are trying to disrupt university events, or are they wanting to just gather and have their voices heard?
It's a little bit of a mix. I mean, here on Columbia's campus, it's this encampment that seemed to be the biggest issue for the university, the students camping out and really refusing to leave. But regardless of what the intentions are, I think we are, of course, seeing that university events are disrupted. I mean, USC has just canceled their main graduation ceremony because protesters and police were clashing on campus. So you're definitely seeing these things. Speakers are being, you know, canceled, but from the protesters' perspective, on the whole, it really just seems like they want their voices to be heard and they want their demands met. Particularly here at Columbia, they want divestiture. They want the university to divest from Israeli universities and from kind of what they say profiting off of this war and profiting off of genocide.
Caitlin Becker from News Nation, thank you for joining us live from Columbia University as we have seen student protests across the country. But again, we're not seeing these widespread protests here in Utah, Mara. Mm-hmm. And you came across an Axios article that asked an interesting question of why, and kind of a hypothesis of why Utah is not seeing these widespread protests.
Yeah, here's some interesting starting positions from this article. One is it points out what we all know, which is Utah has one of the youngest populations in any state. And by and large, these protests are happening with young people. Yes. So it sort of starts out the article supposing like, okay, we got a young state, so we should see a bunch of these protests. It also gives a really interesting statistic that the University of Utah was noted to be one of the least civically active universities' campuses. You know, this is a ranking. I don't want to overstate it, but it was also another indicator of campuses they looked at that we weren't civically engaged. Now, it was in social disobedience. So they're also speaking to protesting and asking the question, why? So they looked, and what we've noticed is if we hold a protest, it is most often not on the quad, not in the middle of the campus. It's most often at the Capitol. So I think some of the rationale is private schools like BYU have actually implemented pretty strict rules about those gatherings. But like you look at our public schools and they're more akin to these, you know, the Ohio states of the world. So why are we being stopped from our protests? And they're talking about culture. We're a culture that values authority. I mean, we appreciate it. We respect it. We are taught to respect authority. And then, Dave, I'd love your response to this, because the one thing that caught me the most is that in this study, they said that places like Utah saw civil disobedience as almost criminal behavior, where other places saw it as just like speaking their truth. They didn't think they were being criminal. They just thought that they were giving their opinion, where a lot of Utahns said it was criminal behavior. How does that land with you?
I think we actually saw this up at the University of Utah. There was protests. They were having a premiere or a film event that dealt with transgenderism. And this film was going to be shown, and there was a protest. And those protesters were stopping the film from being shown. They had gone in, the chanting, they had disrupted it, and they got arrested and they got charged. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. That has not only been the threat, but we've seen that happen on Utah campuses. Now, the question of why is that happening? Why do we feel that way? Do we just automatically think, well, the leaders know best?
Yeah.
Or I'm afraid of the consequences. I think there's a big consequence thing. If we truly believe that if I'm going to be arrested and that's going to be on my record and that's going to follow me and that's going to affect me negatively, I think that plays into it heavily.
Yeah.
It's a risk-reward situation.
And I think we really value being appropriate in public here, which I'm not. That's a great thing about us.
Yeah.
We value being polite to each other. We value being seen as good citizens from an external point of view, right?
Yeah.
But here's the downside of it. Are we having tough conversations in this avoidance of what we see as disagreement? I mean, I have found in my day job, as someone who tends to be very direct, I've had to dial back my directness, right? Because it's often seen as aggressive. And I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to be aggressive. I was being direct. I didn't mean to be aggressive. I think there's a little element to that when you look at a public setting about, you know, I may share that point of view, but it's too aggressive to go out there and protest.
And I have absolutely no problem, you know, shouting from the rooftops. Where I think it crosses the line is if all of a sudden you're in my face, you're preventing me from walking from point A to B, you shut down a street that I need to get through.
Sure.
And that's where I think some communities, some cultures in the country have more tolerance for that. And that is something we do not have. If you stay on the sidewalk and you let me just walk past you and ignore you, then it's all good. As soon as you start restricting my freedom to move, my freedom to listen to the speakers that I want to, that's where I think it crosses the
line. Does
it
matter how long it is? Like if I disrupt your commute for 2 minutes, is that okay with you? If I disrupt your commute for 2 hours, I agree with you. I think I'm pretty tolerant. If you're moving through the intersection and so I miss a light, I'm going to say, go Americans, go protestation. If I'm being honest, if it's 2 hours, I'm yelling and screaming in my car.
That is I hadn't thought about that. Like, what's the level
how
of
much
inconvenience?
Social, exactly.
Yeah. It depends on how inconvenient it is as how willing I'm willing to let you protest. But News Nation, thank you for joining us, giving us an update from Columbia University. When we come back, it's never a love square. It's never even a love pentagon. It's always a love triangle. And today's movie show is talking about love, love triangles in films. I'll tell you my favorite one. I always try to find the deep cut favorite love triangle. And no, Titanic is not a love triangle, folks.